Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. I have a message today called, "Are You Preparing to Enter the Ark?" Are you preparing to enter the Ark? I want to start in Matthew 24. Verse 37 through 39. And it says, "But as the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day when Noah went into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man." And drop down to verse 42, it says, "Be alert then, for you do not know in what hour your master comes." And this is the $99,000 question, right? When Yeshua is going to be returning. But in another sense, it really isn't a $99,000 question, because he gave us, you know, about 100 different things to look for, and about 90 of them already happened. So there's no doubt we know we're in that time, right? But as the days of Noah, it will be in the end time. So I want to go into that today. And let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Because I've mentioned this here quite a bit. I mentioned it, you know, even in messages about the normalcy bias in the world. And again, you know, it's just like for some of us that are a little bit older, right? I remember a world before there was internet. I remember as a kid going out every day and playing all day before there were video games and all this stuff. So I have something to compare the last 20 years to. But for children that grew up in this, it's completely normal. You know, it's just normal, the things that are in society. So they don't really look at it the same way as people that lived before that. And I remember even before that, you know, one of the things I loved when I was doing ministerial training as a young man was going and visiting widows that were, you know, 80 and 90 years old, and they were born in the 1800s, and sharing stories about their lives and how things were in 1895 and 1910. I absolutely loved it, because they had a perspective to life that I didn't have. I didn't live in that time. So it's really hard not to have the normalcy bias to some degree or another, depending on what we see, because what we see every day is going to become most normal to us. But yet, when we're really looking at it, and this is what I want to get in today, Yahweh literally says the time we're living in now is the worst time ever in the history of man. That's 6,000 years. That's a long time, and ever will be. And he doesn't just say it's bad. He really says it's like worse than anything we can know. And I say that I wonder, like today, if the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John, who actually prophesied about some things today, if they were ever resurrected and saw some of these things, I think some of them actually would be probably have a stroke right there. They'd be so shocked just to see some of the things that we have today that they never thought of. And things that not necessarily even evil, just technology, right? Somebody that lived in the first century, just to see an airplane go, what on earth would they think? You know, the Apostle John, when he wrote Revelation, right? And he's trying to explain some of these things. He's seeing it. He doesn't know what he's seeing when he's seeing tanks and nuclear war and all this stuff. So he's explaining it the way that he can understand it. You know, it looks like, you know, he's explaining it like you know, a locust or something, you know, not realizing it could be a helicopter. He doesn't understand it. He's never seen it. So again, that normalcy bias to us that we think these things are completely normal, now that we're living in really that two-minute warning, we got to wake up. We really got to wake up and see that these things are not normal. And if we want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, we got to get in our mind what really is normal. And the only way to do that is live a lifestyle of Yahweh's normalcy, not the normalcy of the world. So Genesis 6, right? So, you know, it's not like I'm not going overboard and making this up saying, well, you know what? Let's compare this really bad time here. No, Yahweh says it. He tells us the time we're living in now, I just read it, will be like the days of Noah. So what was it like in the days of Noah? Let's see. "And it began, and it came about that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them." So the first thing we see in the time of Noah was, it was the very first time that people multiplied on the earth. So, you know, it's really interesting. You could look at a day as it's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, and you can compare the 6 days to creation to the 6 millenniums, right? He said to Adam, in the day you eat the fruit, you'll die. Adam died in that first millennium, you know. And you could compare each one in the 6th millennium, right, that we're living in now, the 6,000 year. What happened on day six? Day six was the day that mankind was born on the earth. And people were multiplying then, and we don't know exactly how many people that was, but it certainly was nothing like we have today. Before the year 1880, there was never more than 500 million people on the earth, and most times way less than that, right? So you're talking about most times in the whole world, not for 20, 30 years, for 6,000 years, you've had just a couple of 100 million, where today you have over 8 billion people. And it's a big difference. We hear the terms all the time, million, billion, trillion, they mean nothing anymore. They're mostly dealing with money and debt and all this stuff. But believe me when I say it, there is a big difference where you take $1 million and stack it up and it's as high as the Empire State Building. You take $1 billion and you're going around the earth a couple of times. So it's a major, major, major difference when you're looking at that. So we've never had this many people on the earth. So one of the things when you have to look at the evilness, it's because of people. Whenever you have people, you're going to have evil. You know, human nature is evil. It's not good. So one way that Yahweh prevented what's happening in our time from happening 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago was simply not allowing that many people to be on the earth. Because if we had that many people in the days of Noah, you better believe you would have already had the earth done, you know, with in nuclear weapons and all this other stuff. It's not that we're so much smarter than these people. It's just that Yahweh limited the damage they could do. So that's the first thing, right? Men come on the earth. And then if we drop down to verse 5, and Yahweh saw the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long, right? So, wow, you could be saying that. Is he writing this in 2025? Look at every single thing that mankind does, and the evil that's on the earth, like I said, to the point where mankind, not only can't they admit that there's men and women, I would have never thought growing up, I would think, you're crazy. We're really going to get to the point where we can't admit what a man is and a woman is. And here we are. We're living it. But not only that, but the evil that is in the heart of mankind, the wars, the purposeful starving people to death, trying to purposely kill millions, if not billions of people. The global leaders come right out and say, basically, you know, now with AI, you have billions of people that are useless eaters. How are we going to get rid of them? How can we kill them? And this is the mind of mankind. The mind of mankind, the evilness that's there was the same as we see. And that's what he always says, as in the days of Noah, will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, and we're living it. So, you know, again, with the normalcy bias, we think, okay, well, I'm a little bit better than the next guy. Okay, well, I'm not part of that world. I go to church on Saturday. You know, no, I'm not part of that world. I eat chicken. I don't eat pork. But are we really separated? And I really hope that studying people like the Qumran sect and studying people like the Amish, that it's hitting us. We are too much, as a congregation, we are too much a part of the world. We're simply too much a part of the world. And the thing that saddens me is, I can only change myself. I can't change anybody else. But I'm just, as we're getting closer to the end, I'm saddened. Not even shocked, because, you know, things are what they are. But I'm saddened that so many brethren just don't care. They're never going to enter the ark. They're never going to come out of it. They're going to be the ones scratching on the door when the time comes and pleading. And as we're going to see, it's going to be too late. It'll be too late because Yahweh is not playing games, and he's not going to take anybody in his kingdom that loves the world better. And it's the same with the mark of the beast. We go into this over and over and over again. You know, when Yahweh really takes someone's salvation from having a smartphone, it's not about the smartphone. It's about loving the things of Satan society more than the things of the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's basically what it is. People that want to be on the internet 24/7, that want to be connected to Satan society, that want to be on YouTube and watching every video and doing all these things, where is your heart? Is your heart with the kingdom of Yahweh, or is your heart there in the kingdom of Satan? And if you don't really ask yourself these hard questions, okay, because I'm asking them to me, I can only change myself, but if you don't ask yourself, you are never going to change. And that's the problem. The people of Yahweh aren't changing, a lot of them, and they're not even asking the questions. So, as we're going to see in the end, there weren't very many people that made it in the days of Noah. Same in the days of Lot, right? It's not 50-50. It's not one will be taken, one will be left. It's basically everyone dies except, you know, eight. Or everyone dies except three. So it's the odds really, really diminish as we're getting closer to the end time. And if you want to be there in the kingdom of Yahweh, and not to be feared to be in there, but to be there because you love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you really better start thinking about, are you preparing to enter the ark? Because the ark was the only safety that happened. If you weren't in that ark, forget about it. Every last person on the earth and every animal and everything perished who was not in the ark. So this is what Yahweh is telling us. As the days of Noah will be as the days of the Son of Man. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart, right? People are good and just do bad things. Where are they getting that from? They're getting that from their evil human nature, because they don't want to admit what they really are. People are not good and do bad things. People are absolutely evil from the core, and sometimes they happen to do good things for their own selfish reasons. But this is the word of Yahweh, that Yahweh was actually sorrowful that he even made us. As a human being, that's the hardest scripture in the world for me to read. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man whom I've created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to the creeping things, to the birds of the heaven, for I regret that I made them. Wow. Wow, that doesn't hit your heart as a human. What does? And you know what? You know, here we are, thousands of years later, and Yahweh is not regretting that decision not to do that. Yahweh is creating a family. Yahweh has first fruits, you know? Yahweh and Yeshua are happy that they started the New Testament congregation. And they're happy with the apostles and our brethren in the wilderness. And now it comes to us. Now we're the last generation. So what is our testimony, right? What is our legacy? Is our legacy going to be that stupid phone that people won't get rid of? Is your legacy going to be Facebook? What is your legacy going to be? Or is your legacy going to be that we were the ones that took that baton and we went into the kingdom and we left this evil, wicked Satan, world of Satan behind us? So when those people come, that all those that are asleep and they wake up, and they're going to be like, well, thank you. Thank you for being faithful in that last generation. Thank you that there was people that went into the kingdom for us. So we have that baton now. It's the last part of the race. What are we doing with it? How serious is it to us? Or is it just the normalcy bias? We're just going to come and go. And like I said, there's people out there that think, oh, we're not in the end time. There could be 100 years left. And you know what? Maybe there is 100 years left. But you know what? You're not going to be here in 100 years. Every one of us will be in the ground and dead. So the only thing that's going to keep going for eternity is our legacy. And our legacy could be two things. It could be being overcomers and coming in the kingdom of Yahweh. Or our legacy could be this. We could be like the days of Noah, and we could be the ones that Yahweh is saying, forever, let's forget these people. They did not want my kingdom. They wanted the things of the world more than the things of Yahweh. And that's our decision. We have free will. And each of us can make that decision the way we go. So let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 10. It says, and then many will be offended, and they will deliver up one another and will hate one another. So I just want to go in some scriptures now, just showing you, I'm not going overboard. You know, when you look at what the situation is in the time we're living in, it is not a good situation, not only for the world, but also for the congregation. We're the Laodicean era, right? Laodicean is ruled by the people. It's people thinking that they are so good and so righteous, like the Pharisees of Yeshua's day, by simply doing a certain act of something that is not morally mean anything, and yet when it comes to moral standard, they're bankrupt. And that's believers. That's believers. Christianity, right? I say Christianity is more dangerous than Islam, because 99% of Christianity think that Yahweh's word is evil. They think it's done away with. They think it's horrible. And without Yahweh's word, what on earth are you left with? You're left with your own human nature. You're going to get nowhere with that. And that's 99% of Christianity. So we are not exaggerating when we're looking how bad this society is. And again, we all live in it. So, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but at the same rate, man, we got to open our eyes and see what it's really like. And many will be offended, and they will deliver up one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many, right? You know, you can go on the internet and you could be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll never run out of videos and websites to go to from somebody coming out with another heresy and another crazy thing. You know, there's about a million calendars out there. You find out people are keeping Passover in February, people are keeping Passover in the summer. People are keeping the Sabbath day now 7 days a week, depending on who it is. But there's all these people that have the, you know, the Sabbath day is all different days. So we're literally seeing this. And because lawlessness will have multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. And we see it in society. We see that people are waxing cold. I don't know how it is, but people can be on a train or they can be on a subway and somebody is getting either raped or murdered or beat up, and they'll sit there and film it and do nothing to help the person. You're going to tell me the love of many is a waxing cold in this world? Wow. Here we are. Here we are. The same spirit is in the end time. Due to the world rejecting the Torah, even Christians, right, living lives of sin, immorality, pastors that are homosexuals, that try to say there's nothing in the Bible that says homosexual is wrong. These people are so wicked. They are so wicked and evil. And unfortunately, most of them are the highest people. They're the judges. They're the presidents of countries. They're the first ones. Most places in the world, it's legal to kill a baby, an unborn baby, right? A life that's there. What can you think of more innocent and beautiful than an unborn baby? And almost every country makes it legal to kill that baby with no consequences. And then try to say it's not even a life. I mean, we are living in the most evil, demonic time you can think of. Because that's Satan's society, right? What does Satan want more than anything? He wants innocent blood. That's what he wants. He wants innocent blood, and you can't get more innocent blood than an unborn baby. But that's the world we live in. Immorality, sexual depravity. There is no standard at all in the world due to the internet and the 24/7 brainwashing by all governments. You know, in America, they want to tell you China is brainwashing and the propaganda in Russia. It's worse in America than anywhere in the world. And what makes it worse is the American propaganda is they made the internet. They made these things, and theirs goes all over the world. You know, I don't see many people in Europe or other places that are watching, you know, maybe TikTok, if you're looking at that kind of crazy stuff. But Chinese stuff, not many. But American propaganda goes everywhere, and every place is propaganda. And that's why we need to come out of it. We need to be separated, because it's 24/7 to people. It was bad enough, you know, 20 years ago when I'm giving sermons trying to get people to get off the television. And given statistics, the average person spends 7 to 8 hours a day on the television. But at least that television, I can't carry that on my back everywhere I go. When I go to the store, when I go to work, I can't carry that on my back. But, you know, the mark of the beast in the hand and the forehead, it's what you think and it's what you do. And if you are being brainwashed by Satan 24 hours a day, you are the most foolish person in the world if you think it's not affecting you. It is affecting you. I've seen it, the statistics show it. And Satan made it to affect you. He made it that way. They admit it. They admit they made it that way. So, what does Yahweh tell us? Does he tell us fight the system? Does he tell us take back the... No. He tells us we are ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh. Bring that good news message. Abstain from Satan's system. And bring that message of the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's the hope of people to come out of that system. 2 Timothy... This is a real scary scripture here in 2 Timothy. We read it before, but I want to read it again here. 2 Timothy 3. It says, but know this, in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. Now, I used to say years ago, I used to read this, And as Paul is going on with, you know, adjective after adjective, I'm like, okay, come on, Paul. You must be in a bad mood this day or something, you know. Now I read this, I'm like, wow, you should have added a few more. You don't have enough adjectives when you're looking at how bad things are. He says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked. We're living it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in our lives, the lives of people around us, the society, without natural feeling, addicted to lust. You know, there's a reason why there's 2 million pornographic websites out there. If it wasn't being used, you wouldn't have them. And this is the society we live in. Without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, right? No loyalty anywhere. Hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim. And wow, is that a big one. Every single thing people do is for pleasure. All the stupid programs on TV and all these sitcoms and all this stuff that people just mindlessly put all this endless junk and garbage in their mind 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And do you think they're not being brainwashed? And the ironic part is, you know what they say? They'll say, we're brainwashed. You know? I say, yeah, I'm being brainwashed by Yahweh. Yahweh is washing my brain from all that filth that Satan is putting in society. Praise him that he's doing that. Having a form of righteousness, but denying the power of it. Even turn away from these. So this is not the world. He's talking about brethren here, right? For of these are those creeping into houses and leading silly women captive, the ones having been heaped with sins, being led by the various lusts, always striving to learn, but never being able to come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? It is a society that is based on knowledge, not on morality. So you read this. This is talking about believers, so-called believers, right? Christians. People that believe in the Bible. And this is what they are. He's not even getting into the world. Forget about them. Because there's, you know, very little, if no hope for most of them. Because, again, they've given themselves over. That's why in 6,000 years, there's never been a society where Yahweh said there's going to be a mark that comes there. And whoever is part of that society, he doesn't say whoever steals, whoever lies in that society, he doesn't say who's ever committing adultery. He says whoever is part of that system, that's what he's saying. If you are part of that system, if you're not part of that system, what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to buy and sell. You're not going to be able to have a bank account. You're not going to be able to buy and sell. You're not going to be able to use your credit card. If you're out of that system, you're not going to be able to buy and sell. And what is that system? A system of commercial Babylon that the world has never seen before. We've had world governments, right? We had Rome, we had Babylon. We've never had a world government like this, that everything is interconnected and all trading. And that's why now with President Trump tariffs, why it's causing so much trouble, because the whole world is interconnected. You know, I could be eating a banana that came from 7,000 miles across the world. You know, there's a TV and it could have parts in that TV from 30 different countries. Everything is interconnected. And Yahweh's saying, if you're part of that system, you're not going to be part of my kingdom. And we better make that choice. What kingdom do we want to belong to? The kingdom of Yahweh or the kingdom of Satan? You know, this is believers here. So-called believers. Always striving to learn, but never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. Now, like I said, I can give a message on where the real Temple Mount is and get 7 to 8, maybe now 10 million views. I give a message like this, you're lucky if 300 or 400 people are going to listen to it. People don't want to hear it because they don't want to change. They don't want to be convicted. And that's unfortunately why so many will perish. It's not that Yahweh wants them to. He doesn't. But they will not see it. It is a hardened society. And through this brainwashing that Satan is doing 24/7, he's making it to the point where people's minds are being taken over. And once the mind is taken over, they're giving in to Satan. So back to Genesis 6. This is a lot to learn about the days of Noah. Genesis 6 and verse 11. And the earth was corrupt before the Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. That word Hamas. The earth was filled with Hamas, and Hamas is not only in the Gaza Strip. It's not only even in Israel, in the West Bank. Hamas is not only in Lebanon, in Syria, and the other places around. You know where Hamas gets 80 to 90% of their financing from? United States. Hamas is in many states in the United States. I come from New Jersey. Paterson, New Jersey, everybody there knows it, is basically all Hamas. The whole city is just filled with Hamas. So Hamas is everywhere. They're causing a lot of violence. They cause a lot of destruction. And Elohim looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. All flesh had corrupted its way. It will be as the days of Noah, so will be the days of the Son of Man. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. We just read in Timothy. What did he say? He said in the end time, violence, you know, the way the people are acting. I will destroy along with the whole earth. Earth today is filled with violence, terrorism, murder, rapes, kidnapping. Everywhere you look, this is what you see. Luke 21. Luke 21. 10 and 11. And he said to them, nation will be lifted against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be severe earthquakes from place to place, and famines and plagues. And there will be fears and terrorist acts, and great signs will be seen from heaven. And the winters will be severe. Drop down to verse 25, Luke 21, 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. We've been seeing them. One sign only happens once every 7,000 years. You want a sign to the end time? Yahweh literally in Revelation 12 gives a heavenly sign so nobody can get a ladder and start moving around the planets up there. But he gives a heavenly sign that will happen once in 7,000 years, and in 2017 that sign happened. So, is it the time? Of course it is. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth will be anxiety of nations with bewilderment, roaring of sea and surf. We see that with hurricanes and tornadoes. We see that all tsunamis, I mean all kinds of things going. Men fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And I know when I was first a believer 40 years ago, and like I said, most of what you're hitting people with is knowledge, things, and doctrine. Because you couldn't hit them with anything else. There was nobody really in the earth at that time that was worried about the system ending. You know? But today, the average person out there that doesn't believe in the Bible at all, everybody knows there's something wrong here. And everybody says the same thing. It's like 85% of anybody polled will say, the world can't continue this way. They don't know what's going to happen. That's why they're scared. But it certainly can't continue this way. There's no way. There's no way. And that's why even the doomsday clock, you know, they moved it to whatever it is. It's like 1 minute to midnight or 55 seconds to midnight because they know something is going to happen soon. It just can't continue this way. So men fainting from fear, expectation of things coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Go back to Genesis 6. And let's continue here in verse 13. And Elohim said to Noah, right? So what is... Here we go. We're looking at this progression here, right? So Yahweh tells us it's like the days of Noah. So that's why I say like Lot's wife, right? There's only one person in the New Testament that tells us, you know, to remember. So we better look at everything she did, she didn't do, and learn from that, which we did. But now he says the same thing here. As the days of Noah will be like the days of the Son of Man, and we're living there. So wow, we need to really dissect this and see what's going on so we know what to do. And let's look. Verse 13. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Make an ark of cypress timbers for yourself. You shall make rooms in the ark, and you shall cover it with asphalt inside and out. And you shall make it this way. The length of the ark will be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. So you're talking about like 450 feet, you know, and a foot is 12 inches. 450 feet, it's like 3 feet is 1 meter. 450 feet long by 75 feet high by 45 feet high. 45 feet is, you know, like a 30-story, you know, building. You're talking about something that is massive, you know, something that is really, really massive. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it above to a cubit. And you shall set the door of the ark on its side. You will make it with lower, second, and third stories. And behold, I am bringing a flood of waters on the earth in order to destroy all the flesh, in which is the breath of heaven from under the heavens. I thought it's interesting that he has three stories there, because, you know, like we talked about a few weeks ago, many are called, few are chosen, few are faithful. And you kind of have, Yahweh works in these threes, you know, called, chosen, faithful, baptism of water, baptism of spirit, baptism of fire. And even on the ark, he has three levels there. You know, what level are you going to go to on that ark? So he says, behold, I am bringing a flood of water on the earth in order to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under the heavens. Everything which is on the earth shall die, and I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you. And this is a direct command to each of us. So this was an example, right? Noah was a prototype, but Yahweh says in the end time, it's the same thing. So I hope you're reading this, and I hope you are putting your name in there, you know? And I will establish my covenant with you, Elder Don, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your son's wife with you, your family. Bring the people in there. Leave this wicked society of Satan, and there's a lot of scriptures. I'm just going to go into a couple in a minute. But it's not, like I said, it's not something like this is hidden and it's one thing and he's taken out of context. It's all over the place. And that's why I said, that's what grieves me more than anything. You know, that so many brethren simply have no desire to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. They love the things of the world and they have no desire to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And you shall bring into the ark two of every kind, of every living thing, of all flesh, to keep alive with you, and they will be made male and female. So like I said, here's a parallel to us, right? Where else do you see in the Bible about two by two, when Yeshua is sending out the disciples, right? You're to go out two by two, and that's what he's saying. You come into the ark two by two. So we see the parallels, like Yahweh, from the birds according to its kind, and the cattle according to its kind, from creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two from each shall come to you to keep alive. And some people try to say, oh, this could never happen. There's so many different animals. There's no way he could fit in the ark. I just told you how big that ark was. But remember, there are kinds, right? So he didn't bring, there's canines, dogs. He didn't bring 5,000 dogs, you know, of everything. He brought a canine, to, you know, too. And then those canines made other canines. So it wasn't that he brought every kind of every kind, because they make of each kind. But every kind of animal and creeping thing or whatever was there. And he says, and take for yourself all food that is eaten and gather for yourself. And let it be for you and for them for food. And Noah did according to all that Elohim appointed him to do, so he did, right? Just like we see with Abraham. Abraham got up and walked, and Abraham got up and walked. So we don't see, and Noah held back because he didn't want to give up his cell phone, you know. Or Noah held back because, you know, he had a Facebook account. You know, and he was telling everybody through Facebook. It's like, you don't see that. You see that the real people of Yahweh, the people that are going to be, you know, the pillars in the kingdom, were people, and it wasn't just that they feared Yahweh while they listened. They listened because they loved Yahweh. They listened because they loved Yahweh with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they believed Yahweh, like it says. That's why it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness, because he believed. And like I said, in the Laodicean era, they think they're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, and they don't realize they are poor and blind and miserable and naked. And until that day happens, right, when the door of this ark is closing, that's when they're going to find out. And I can tell you from my own life that I found out the hard way. That day when I found out I had no faith was the scariest day in my life. But I knew, boy, I better change quick. And I thank Yahweh that he gave me time to change. But it's the worst feeling in the world to think you have faith when you're providing everything yourself. And then all of a sudden, whoop, it's all gone. And you got to stand there and you realize, wow, you know, I have nothing. I have no faith. I'm blinded. It's a scary time, but it doesn't have to be. So Noah did according to all Elohim appointed him to do. Noah was warned about what was coming. He was told how to prepare even food, right? We have Joseph's storehouse. I can't believe how well in most of these areas it's going. And it's not just Shemitah. We're storing food because we're storing and trying to help brethren. We're preparing for this day. Not because we're trying to save our flesh, because we believe in the word of Yahweh. Just like now. You know, we have hundreds of brethren, mostly women and children now, that whoop, all of a sudden the UN says, we're not taking care of you anymore. Sorry, the door is closed. What happened to these people? Like in Gaza, a lot of them are going to starve to death. Not in our congregation. Praise Yahweh. You know, the Ugandans, they wound up with a big piece of land not that long ago, not knowing what are we going to do with this. Now they know. But they have to prepare. You know, somebody's got to feed these people. We got to build places for them to live. And that's why he always says, if you wait to the last minute, you're not going to get into that ark. Noah took 100 years to prepare because he believed in Yahweh. He didn't procrastinate and say, you know, I'll do it next year. I'll do it next year. Because the ark would have never gotten built. So Noah prepared even food. The preparation shows our faith and our belief in Yeshua's word. If we're not preparing, we can't really believe. If we are not preparing, we do not believe. Genesis 7. It says, and Yahweh said to Noah, you and all your house come into the ark, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation, right? In what generation? This horrible, evil, wicked generation. So, can Yahweh say that to you? Can he say, come into the ark because I see you righteous? Right? Are you leaving the society? Or are you part of it? Do you love all the things of the world? Because as we'll see, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You shall take to yourself from every clean animal. So there were clean animals in this time. Didn't just start with Moses. By sevens, male and female. And from the animal that is not clean, two male and female. And take of the fowls of the heaven by seven, male and female, to keep alive seed on the face of the earth. And after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and will wipe away every living substance I've made from off the face of the earth. And after you understand, I gave a message a few years ago on cycles of seven, that everything runs in cycles of seven. The whole Shemitah cycle of sevens, the Jubilee cycles of seven. Here we are. We're getting ready to Shavuot. We just have 2 more sevens to count. So everything runs in cycles of seven. So I don't believe it's just a coincidence that he says after 1 more seven. You know, after 1 more seven. So definitely the end time is running in sevens. There's a last 7 years, right? So we're not going to have 100 years to prepare that ark the way Noah did. But it possibly can be the last 7. And Noah did as all that Yahweh commanded him. And Noah was a son of 600 years, and flood of waters was on the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the water of the flood. And they went into Noah into the ark, male and female of clean animals, and of animals that are not clean, and of fowls, and everything that creeps on the earth. 2 by 2, as Elohim had commanded Noah, they went into the ark, male and female. And it was after the 7 days the waters of the flood came being on the earth. Right? So Yahweh's word is sure. And why? Why is it only in the last, you know, 10, 15 years? Why did Yahweh reveal to us about the patterns of seven? Why did he reveal to us the Shemitah cycle? Right? The Jubilee cycle? Because we're living in that time. Number 7 is the number of completion, perfection. Noah was told to go into the ark 7 days before the flood was to come. And like I said, Yahweh works in cycles of seven. 2 Corinthians 4. So here we are. As in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the sons of man. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Says, for this reason, we are not weary of the ministry in which we have engaged. Is anybody weary of their ministry? No, we're just getting started, right? That's our whole work in the end time. When this good news is preached to all the world, then the end will come. So I hope nobody's getting weary. For this reason, we are not weary of the ministry in which we have engaged, just as we are not weary of the mercies that have been upon us. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Have you? Have you renounced the hidden things of shame? You know, like I said, the pastor out there that's open to homosexual, and saying there's nothing wrong with it. The world has not renounced the hidden things of shame. Have you? You know, what are the hidden things of shame? Some of them are in this box, and we're going to burn them in a couple of days. What are the hidden things of shame in your life that right now, today, you can renounce and get rid of and never go back to? But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or corrupting the word of Elohim, but by the revelation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of men before Elohim. But if our good news is being hidden, right? How many people in the world know the good news? Very few. But if it's being hidden, it has been hidden to those that are lost. There ain't going to be many that make it in the end time. And why are they lost? Look at verse 4. To those whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world. Satan the devil. The G-O-D of this world. Because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. Right? The prince of the power of the airwaves. He's the one. Started with radio, went to TV, went over the phones, internets, all this stuff, and now, wow, now AI and all this other stuff. The progression of this. Like I said, everything being knowledge-based, but morally bankrupt. So why is it hidden? Because the God of this world has blinded them. Because they love the things of the world more than the things of Yahweh. And that's why very few people come to faith in the time we're living in. But we have to renounce the evil of Satan's society. We have to stop playing games. We have to stop compromising and thinking there's nothing wrong with it. Satan is the god of this world system. We have to separate as he controls the entire world with the global trading system. And again, unless you leave that society, you're not going to be able to buy and sell. So that's what it comes down to in the end time. To buy and sell, you're going to have to be part of that society. Revelation 13. Like I said, it's not a moral issue. It's an issue of a complete worldwide trading system of commercial Babylon. Where the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, and basically they've suppressed the people in the world, where you look, 70-80% of the people are making salaries the way they did in 1820. And the other people, the 1% of the world, are making billions and zillions and, you know, money that you can't imagine. Because they're oppressing these people. Revelation 13, 8, 9. And all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, the beast power. So are they forcing this mark on people? Are they forcing people into slavery? No way. No way. The world wants it. They're loving it. They're all waiting for the next thing to come out. What's it going to be? You know, what's the next this? What's the next that? All the technology, all the AI. All those dwelling in the earth will worship him. Those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. So, it's not anybody who's going to be in the kingdom that's all happy for the next, you know, thing that's coming out. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And I pray to Yahweh, I thank him every day of my life. He's opened up my eyes and my ears to see this. Or I'd be there like anybody else. Because it's all, who wouldn't want all this pleasure-seeking stuff as a corrupted, evil human being? Of course you would. Got to fight your human nature. You got to die to the flesh. Verse 13. And he, this beast power, Satan, performed great signs, even as to make fire come down from heaven upon the earth before men, right? So we're going to see all these miracles that are happening, all these wonderful acts, and that's what people go for, right? Signs and wonders. That, like I said, it don't matter. You can talk about repentance. They don't want to see it. They want to see signs and wonders. And he deceives those dwelling on the earth because of the signs which were given to it to do before the beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the beast who has the wound of the sword and lived. And it was given to put life into the image of the beast. Here we come with our AI, right? Mixing the clay and the metal. The clay and the metal, right? Mixing human and artificial intelligence. So that the image of the beast might even speak. And might cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the freeman and the slave, right? The whole world is going for it. It causes that they give to them all a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. Q QR code. Even that not any could buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number. And like I said, we don't have to try to figure it out anymore. They already did it with COVID. The system's already there. You know, you needed that QR code to get in the supermarket and buy and sell. What more do we need to know? Yahweh, thank Yahweh that he showed us that ahead of time, maybe before we enter the seven now, to say, prepare. You know, it's like the story, you know, the guy that he's... the flood is coming on the house, and he's like, no, I trust in Yahweh. So all of a sudden, you know, they come there, and they're like, Joe, you know, we're going to help you. No, I trust in Yahweh. Then he's climbing on the roof, and the flood is coming up, and a helicopter's there. Joe, we're here to help you. No, I trust in Yahweh. And then it's on the top. He's holding on the top, and they're like, Joe, come on, help. No, I trust in Yahweh. The person dies, and then he gets to the pearly gates. And he's asking, you know, hey, I trusted in Yahweh. Why didn't you help me? And he says, I sent you two rowboats and a helicopter. You know, I mean, Yahweh is showing us. We lived it. We lived it for 3 years. You couldn't leave your house. You couldn't buy and sell. Everything that it says here. We lived it. The system is there. And it wasn't in one place. Nobody could say, well, that was in New York. That was only here. It was the entire world. There were actually several countries that didn't have one COVID case that closed their country down. Because that's what the world powers told them. It was nothing but COVID. It was phony. It was to test this system to see the next thing. And now we're already into the digital money all through the Federal Reserve banks. We're already in the next step. And that's why Yahweh says you have to prepare. It takes time to build an ark. It takes time to do it. And whoever doesn't, wow, you're going to get swept away. Like I said, your fingerprints will be on that door of the ark, but you're not getting in. Because you know what it's showing? It's not only showing you don't believe in Yahweh, even though he showed it. What it's showing is you don't care. You don't care. You don't care about the things of Yahweh. If you're living for this world and COVID came and went and you're right back to everything else you're doing, you're simply showing Yahweh you don't want the kingdom of Yahweh. And not only should we want it, we are the representatives for it. We are the ambassadors for that. So what are we doing? What on earth are we doing? Either it's real or it's not. And you're going to find out real quick what side of that column you're on. So this is why Yahweh is separating his people. Because we can't survive. We can't survive in them. We're human beings, right? Yahweh will have manna again. He will have water come out of the rock. But we're humans, you know? So he's telling us, just like he did with Noah. He could have had manna with Noah. He didn't. Noah prepared, and it said he brought food into that ark to last for the time. 1 John 2, we went through this many times, but kind of hard to give a sermon like this without going into 1 John 2. And sometimes I think we read it so many times that it just breeds over and people don't see it. Love not the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And there's people there, and like I said, they have every gadget of the world. They have every new thing. They have, you know, every new technological thing in their hand. They on all kinds of social media and everything. And they read this and don't see that that's part of the world. Who created it? Yahweh or Satan? Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father and of the world. So the internet is an evil of itself, right? You could use the internet for good things. They simply don't. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For every good thing you see on the internet, you'll see 100 things that are evil. So it's not that the internet itself, it's not evil to be able to send information to all people around the world. What's evil is all the information they are sending. I mean, why on earth would you have to have 2 million pornographic websites on your internet? Why would you have to have 1 million gambling things on your internet? Why would you have to have all of this stuff? And if we're honest, like I said, there's 100 times more evil things on that internet than good things on that internet. Why? Because all which is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. WWW, right? 666, the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Wav. And that's the WWW. Everything you do on the internet is 666. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. So if we love the things of the world, very clearly, the love of the Father is not in us. Are we falling for the brainwashing of Satan, or are we coming out of it? Being connected to the internet 24/7, having their minds seared and brainwashed 24/7. And believe me, the other thing is the pharmakia, right? So I know at least in America, they try to get people on at least 5, 6, 7 pills a day, and those pills are basically to dumb down their mind so that when they're hitting them with all of this brainwashing, you know, through all of these channels of TV, internet, and all this stuff, that it can work faster. And it's working. Satan is doing that with his people. Luke 17, verse 26. Luke 17 and verse 26. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Right? Was it, until this happened, was it like those, you know, movies they make, you know, the end time where everything is destroyed? No. Society is normal. They're eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage till the day Noah went into the ark. So everything is going to seem normal to the people out there, but I hope it doesn't seem normal to the people of Yahweh. And likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, Yahweh rained down fire and brimstone from the heaven and destroyed them all. According to those things, it will be in the day the Son of Man is revealed, according to those things. So it will be just like that. To the world, everything's going to seem normal, but to the people of Yahweh, they're preparing. And the minute that Yahweh's people are prepared and the bottom comes out, it's going to be shocking to these people. They're not going to know what's happening. Back to Matthew 24. We'll read the same thing there in Matthew 24. In verse 37, but as the days of Noah, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For they were in the days before the flood, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away. So also it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Same thing, right? In the mouth of two witnesses. So the world, they're not going to know. They're going to think this, everything is hunky-dory, everything is going along, just like with COVID, we just wanted to go back to normal. Well, now they got their normal. They got their normal and then some. But it's not going to stay that way. So what about the people of Yahweh? Do we believe it? Do we believe the word of Yahweh? And are we doing this and coming out of the system, not just because we're fearing of losing out of the kingdom, but like I said, because it's evil. It's an evil system, filled with every kind of lust and greed and covetedness of it. Why would we want to be part of something like that? Let's go back to Genesis now, and let's analyze this one more time. Genesis 6. Because like I said, it's really clear. As in the days of Noah, and Yahweh gives us, why would he give us all these things exactly what happened? Because we need to prepare from what he's saying. So back to verse 13. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Exactly what he says in our time now, right? We're seeing the same thing. Then he tells him about making the ark and all that. And verse 18 again. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you. And you shall bring into the ark two of every kind, of every flesh to keep alive. And then verse 21, and take for yourself all food that is eaten. Right? That's why, like I said, that's why on the kibbutzes we're storing food, we're preparing for this. And gather to yourself, and let it be for you and for them for food. And Noah did so according to all that Elohim appointed to him, so he did. And like I said, this is written for us now. Are you doing the same thing? Are you preparing? Are you coming out of that society? Are you preparing to enter the ark? Chapter 7. Chapter 7. And Yahweh said to Noah, you and all your house come into the ark, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. Are we part of the world, or are we boring? Are we sickened by the things that we see out there? Because the ones who get protected in the end time, right, in Ezekiel 9, they're the ones that are sighing and crying. You know, are we crying to Yahweh in prayer for this, the horrible things that are happening every day to children, to poor people, the suffering, the starvation, the wars? Or are we just going on, you know, not seeing it as that bad? You shall take to yourself from every clean animal, right? We went into that. And I'll drop down to verse 4. For after 7 more days, remember, patterns of 7, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe away every living substance that I have made from off the face of the earth. And Noah did as to all that Yahweh commanded him. Noah was a son of 600 years, and the flood waters won the earth. And Noah went in. He went into the ark, and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the water, right? And they went in to Noah into the ark, male and female of clean animals, and of animals that are not clean, and the fowls, and everything that creeps, two by two. As Elohim had commanded Noah, they went into the ark, male and female. And it was after 7 days the waters of the flood came into being. So he didn't go in 10 minutes before the flood came. It's not like, you know, you look outside and you see these clouds, it's like, uh-oh, it's going to rain. Let me get down my wash. Let me get in the house. He did it 7 days beforehand. And that's why Yahweh's telling us, that's why it's patterns of 7. And that's why he's given us the Shemitah cycle, and we're seeing, because not only is the Shemitah cycle and the Jubilee on those patterns of 7, but we need that 7. We need that 7 to prepare, not just preparing food for the ark, of preparing ourselves. We got to come out. We got to get that brainwashing of Satan's commercial Babylon out of our minds. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the world that commercial Babylon has affected. And that's why Babylon is being completely destroyed. That's why not one person will be left there, because they have destroyed so many people, not just physically, you know, by starving them in all the wars, but mentally. And again, it used to be 20, 25 years ago, if I went to a lot of third world places, I wouldn't see what I see today. But in the third world, they're no different. They're no different than in America, Babylon, as far as the internet, the phones, all of these gadgets, the mindset, people wanting to work in the cities, wanting money, going, you know, sending their kids to public schools. I'm shocked. I've had people, even elders, write me and ask me for money to send their kid to a college. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Number one, you know, I pay for my own daughter's homeschooling that I got to pay every year out of my pocket. And I'm certainly not going to give anybody money to send their child to a public college. I'm 1,000% against public school. 1,000%. If there's one thing that has destroyed our children, it's the public school system. It's there to brainwash them. It's that simple. And yet people don't get it. They don't get it. They simply don't get it. And you know what? They don't have eyes to see. So I'm not judging it. That's up to Yahweh. All I know is I got eyes. I got eyes. I see what's coming. I see that time coming down. And I know one thing. I got to work on myself. Because if I don't change from within, it doesn't matter how much I prepare. It doesn't matter how big an ark I build. I got to change. That's the key. And if I don't come out of that commercial Babylon, it's never going to get out of this here. And like I said, it's in the third world as well as the first world. And people are loving it. They're not leaving it. That is the problem. So, 7 days. They went in 7 days before the flood came. 1 7. They had to separate. And in the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, in this day all the fountain of the great deep were risen, and the windows of the heavens were opened up. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Like I said, 40 also, number of trial or number of overcoming, depending on how you look at it. In this same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them went into the ark. They and every animal according to its kind, every beast according to its kind, every creeping thing on the earth according to its kind, and every fowl according to its kind, and every bird of every wing. And they went into Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh in which the breath of life. And those going in went male and female of all flesh, as Elohim had commanded them, And Yahweh shut the door behind them. Ooh. Shut the door, right? 7 days beforehand. So what happened? Maybe before the rain even came, 3 days later, someone might be knocking on the door. Noah, you in there? That door ain't opening. It's just like an airplane, right? Doesn't matter what the situation is. Once they lock that door, even if it didn't leave, they ain't opening that door once it's locked. And Yahweh, not Noah, Yahweh shut the door behind them. Let's go to Matthew 25. We'll come back here in a minute, but let's go to Matthew 25. What does it remind you of? The 10 virgins, right? Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride, right? And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. And those being foolish, taking their lamps, did not take oil. The Laodiceans, right? They don't need oil. They're rich and increased with goods. They don't need anything. Hey, you might want to take some oil. We might be out there late tonight. Nah. Don't need any oil. I'll be fine. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps, and the bridegroom, the lame, all nodded and slept. And here we are, right? Everybody thought things were going to happen earlier, but the bridegroom delays, all nodded and slept. And at midnight a cry occurred, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him." And all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself." And aren't our kibbutzes, where these people are preparing that time, they're not going to be able to feed everybody who's not preparing. It's that simple. And that's what happens. So there's brethren that don't want to prepare, don't want to do nothing, but then they're the first ones there at the door looking for handouts. Ain't enough, right? Go to those who buy and sell. That's what some of them are doing now. You know, I get emails all the time about this and that, and I'm wondering, where did you get that from? You know, you didn't make this up. You weren't reading your Bible and came up with this. You know, what website are you going to? I just did a message during Pesach, really good message called "Are You Thirsty?" If you haven't heard it yet, I just put it online a couple of weeks ago, but on that subject. So, the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us. Go to those." But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went into him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Just like we see in Genesis. The door was shut. We've heard it enough. We've been warned enough. Now we are living it. And that door is probably about 1/3 closed already. And even if there was 50 years left, if we're honest with ourselves, there is not one extra day that we don't need to change ourselves. Because, like I said, we all know what we're putting in that box. And it's not good stuff. It's the stuff we don't want to share because we're ashamed of. But we need that time now. We need that 7 to get rid of those things. Because if not, you know, it's not going to help you. So the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins came, saying, "Master, open to us." And he said, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert. You do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes." Right? They're eating and drinking and marrying until, boom, it comes from nowhere. "You do not know the day the Son of Man comes." In the days of Noah, and we're reading the same exact thing here. Yahweh shut the door. Let's go back there. Chapter 7, verse 16, "And Yahweh shut the door behind them." He shut the door behind them. And once that door is shut, like I said, it ain't opening up. So we are racing against the clock now, not just in preparation, physical preparation. That's the least of my worries, although we do it because we believe in Yahweh's word. It's the spiritual preparation. It's getting those things, getting every spot and wrinkle out of our garment. Verse 17, "And the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the water increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were greatly increased on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly violent on the earth, and all the high mountains under the heavens were covered." The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. Wow! "And all flesh that moved on the earth died. The fowl, the cattle, the beast, every swarming thing that swarms on the earth, and all mankind, all died in those in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land, and every living thing which was on the face of the earth was wiped away, from man to cattle to creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens, and they were wiped off the earth, and only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And mighty were the waters over the earth 150 days. An interesting 5 months. We look in Revelation as 5 months of darkness. A lot of parallels. A lot of parallels in the story of Noah and in Revelation that we're seeing. Right? But it's not a pretty picture. You know, like I said, Yahweh has mercy upon measure. And when he gets to that point that he stretches to the point that he can't stretch anymore, what does he do? He stretches a little bit more. But once that rope is cut, it's cut. And it's not coming back. And that's what we see. Yahweh's to the point where people, Satan has manifested, he's the great counterfeiter, he's manifested his system on this earth. He's manifested through AI and through all of his, you know, technology that he's using in the time we're living in, to the point where human beings now are saying they can create life. We don't need a creator. There is no creator. It's all a lie. We are the creator, and we can create life ourselves. You think we're not close to that end time? You better believe we are. Because Yahweh has had it up to here. And that's what he said. The sins of Babylon have gone up through his nostrils. Last scripture I'm going to go into is Isaiah 13. Just to parallel what's going to happen here in the very short time period, exactly what we just read in the days of Noah. So, you know, when we're looking at those 10 versions, one thing to think about, those unwise, the foolish virgins, it didn't happen overnight. Right? It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time to become a wise virgin. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to become a foolish virgin. And that's why, like I said, days go into weeks, and weeks go into months, and months go into years, and as you get older, you realize life goes by real, real fast. And the wise are the ones that are using the discipline in their life, and they're diligently putting Yahweh first. That's all Abraham did. That's all Noah did. Simply just believing Yahweh and loving him and putting him first in their life, and the other ones just let life come and go and never prepared, and boom. When the bottom falls out, the bottom falls out. It's a lifestyle choice. It's a lifestyle choice. Don't let the normalcy bias of the foolish Laodicean virgin affect you. Because it's human nature to take the easier route. Not to be ready, not to prepare. Isaiah 13 and verse 6. How? For the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. On account of this, all hands will droop and every heart of man will melt. Right? Weren't we reading that in Luke? The fear that comes. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain like one giving birth. They will be amazed, each man to his neighbor. Faces of flames shall be their faces. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, cruel and with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land waste, and he shall destroy its sinners out of it. We just read in Genesis the same parallel. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not reflect its light. And I will visit evil on the world and their iniquity on the wicked. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will humble the pride of tyrants. I will make man more rare than fine gold, even a man more than the carvings of Ophir, right? So is there going to be many people left? No, there'll be some. As he said, I will make them rare. He didn't say there'll be none left, but very rare. So I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of its place, in the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. And boy, Yahweh is all merciful and loving and graceful. But that's why look out when his wrath is coming. Look out. And that's what's coming because of a world that's been rebellious, obstinate, and literally has come under the worship of the god of this world, under Satan the devil. And that's what they're looking for. The wrath of Yahweh. We're living in the most evil, immoral society ever, even worse than Noah's time, the Bible says. It's the worst the world will ever see. Yahweh warns his people to separate from this wicked society, just like he warned Noah to go into the ark. Noah had to prepare for many years to be ready, right? 100 years actually building the ark for when the time came. Are you preparing as the time is coming to enter the ark? Noah did not just enter, but he prepared. So it didn't just happen in a vacuum where, oh, this thing was coming and he runs, hey, look, there, that thing looks good, let's go inside of there. No, he prepared 100 years to build it, and then he prepared bringing the things in that would be needing for it. Noah just didn't enter, but he prepared. Are you preparing? His remnant, Yahweh is preparing his remnant with kibbutzes, communities, like I said. A few years ago, I was kind of nervous, how are we going to get through it in the end time? Now I realize Yahweh is preparing his communities. And like I said, sometimes you think, I know people have said this to me before about Babylon. Like, they said, oh, I don't have the money to leave. And I said, if Babylon, leaving Babylon was about money, then we all got it wrong. Because that's the reason he's destroying it, because of money, right? So it's not about money. It's about obedience. That's the point of it. And it's the same way here, right? When we look, the poorest place on earth, you can't get poorer than Sudan, is the most well-prepared community that we have in the world. And the biggest. They have about 1,000 people there. You're not talking about a community with 50 or 100 people. They have 1,000 and they're growing, and they're the most prepared. It's amazing, all the stuff that they have. So for me, it gives me hope. It's not about money. You know, it's not about money, it's about faith. It's about believing. So Yahweh is preparing his remnant with kibbutz communities as an ark to hide and protect them when his wrath comes. Are you preparing as part of Yahweh's community, or are you staying part of Satan's community? Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.